like snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. This is Harlow Gold, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Max Dramatic Shenanigans and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and is Jen, featuring the relationship between Steve Harrington and Nancy Wheeler. With additional tags for coming out, bisexual Nancy Wheeler, Nancy Wheeler-centric, Nancy Wheeler has a crush on Robin Buckley, supportive Steve Harrington. Steve Harrington is a good friend. Steve Harrington and Nancy Wheeler friendship. Platonic love. Author's notes. I just think that Steve Harrington and Nancy Wheeler should get to be best friends. So, here's 4K of them in all their platonic glory, with a side of my not-so-subtle pushing of the Betty Davis Eyes is Robin's favorite song agenda. Smiley face. Also, I feel like it's worth mentioning that Nancy Wheeler really should have guessed she liked girls earlier, because come on, Wheeler. No one looks at the cover of Pat Benatar's In the Heat of the Night for that long, unless they're ogling Miss Benatar. The title comes from Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes because I was desperate to use lyrics from that song, lol. This fic is unbated. Any and all mistakes are my own. Without further ado, please enjoy.
And she teased you, she'll unease you. All the better just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got Greta Garbo standoff size. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll let you take her home. She'll lay you on the throne. She got Betty Davis eyes. She'll take a tumble on you, roll you like you were dice, until you come out blue. She's got Betty Davis eyes.
The cassette on the nightstand is not hers. Nancy owns a lot of cassettes. Both of Madonna's albums, all of Blondie, some Billy Joel, Cyndi Lauper's She's So Unusual, Toto, Pat Benatar, lots of Pat Benatar. There's even a Tears for Fears album somewhere in the mix, though she's certain it doesn't actually belong to her. She's pretty sure it's Steve's. She'd bet all of her Pat Benatar cassettes on it, in fact. The point is, Nancy has a lot of music. But the Kim Carnes Mistaken Identity cassette sitting on the tabletop, right in front of the little ceramic cat she'd gotten from her grandmother, is not hers. But who it really belongs to isn't even a question. It's Robin's. Nancy knows this. She'd been over the other day, at Nancy's house, in Nancy's bedroom, on Nancy's bed. They'd been listening to music on Nancy's Walkman, steadily working their way through her collection of tapes and the handful of her own that Robin had brought. Robin had insisted upon the activity. The kind of music a person listens to tells a lot about who they are, or so she said, and she'd wanted to know Nancy, wanted Nancy to know her. The headphones, naturally, couldn't fit over both of their heads, so they'd squished together on top of Nancy's bedspread, legs and shoulders pressed together, heads bent close, and they'd each held one of the earphones up. The knuckles had brushed whenever one of them shifted, and it had sent sparks fizzing down Nancy's arm every single time. The opening notes of Betty Davis' Eyes filtered through, and Robin had immediately perked up, nudging Nancy with her elbow. "This one's my favorite," she'd told her excitedly. Looking at that Kim Carnes cassette now, thinking about that moment, the brightness in Robin's eyes, her smile so big, the goofy way she held her fist up to her mouth like a microphone and mouthed along to the lyrics, It makes something warm unfurl in Nancy's chest. It's not an unfamiliar feeling, the fluttery sensation in her stomach, the warmth that rises to her cheeks, the inability to focus on anything else. Nancy remembers how strong it had been with Jonathan, with Steve. She'd felt just as besotted with them, too. She knows what this feeling means, even when it's directed towards Robin. Nancy hadn't ever really considered having crushes on girls before. She knew that there were girls like that out there, and she knew what society had to say about them. Most of it was cruel and unfair, and Nancy had never understood all the vitriol. Girls were cool. You should be so lucky to like a girl, she'd always thought. It hadn't been something Nancy had expected of herself. But there isn't really any other explanation for it now. Not for the way Nancy actually wants to listen to Robin babble on about Bigfoot and aliens and whatever other conspiracy she knows far too much about. Not for how much she likes making Robin laugh, especially when it's hard enough that she snorts and her eyes go all big and she covers her mouth to try and stop it, even though Nancy loves the sound. Not for the way Robin grabbed her hand, brief as it was, when there was a jump scare in the horror flick Eddie insisted their group watch on movie night, and Nancy spent the rest of the night wishing it would happen again. It's a crush, through and through. And it's kind of scary, the way all crushes are, but also the way most crushes aren't, because it's Robin, who is totally cool and ridiculously smart, but also endearingly dorky and kind of beyond belief, and is a girl. And even though she didn't totally lose her head over that fact, Nancy still wishes that she had someone she could talk to about it all. Someone she could express the lingering fears with, and who would tell her that it's okay. Someone she could turn to for advice. Someone she could share the joy of a new infatuation with. Nancy is pretty sure that she could talk to Jonathan about it. He knows a little something about being the black sheep, and Nancy doesn't think he would judge her for it. But they'd only just broken up, and while it was a mutual decision and an amicable split, she doesn't think it would be fair to turn to him so soon after for advice about the feelings she already has for someone else. She doesn't have any girlfriends to talk to either. Robin is kind of the first close female friend she's had since Barb. And despite this budding friendship between herself and Robin, Nancy can't turn to Robin. Robin is what some might call nosy. Nancy prefers to call her curious. She's the type to ask a lot of questions, and she doesn't give up easily. She'll push until she gets the answer she's looking for. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but Nancy isn't so sure she's ready for that kind of inquisition. Not about this. Admitting to herself that she might like a girl is one thing, but admitting it to that girl, that's a whole other ballgame, and Nancy isn't quite there yet. The kids are out of the question, as wise beyond their years as some of them may be, and that includes Mike. Even though he's her brother, and even though they've grown closer over the years, Mike's got his own teenage angst to deal with. Adding Nancy's to the mix would just overwhelm him. She's sure of it. And there's no way she's going to her parents about this. Which only leaves one person that Nancy trusts enough with something as delicate as this. One person whom she is comfortable enough to confide in. Steve Harrington. She's nervous about telling him, though. It's a big thing, a huge thing. Something that might fundamentally rewrite his perception of her. The chance that it won't go over well is not a zero probability. Even though it's been years since they dated, and Steve is a much better guy these days, there is still no knowing for certain how he'd react. But Nancy has faith. So, she gives Steve a call. Tells him she needs to talk to him about something. That it's important and pretty serious. Steve agrees right away, but he sounds worried, a little panicked. Nancy asks to reassure him that it has nothing to do with rifts to other worlds or demo anythings. There's just something on her mind, and she has it on good authority that he's a good listener. Steve tells her he can be there in 20. There's a ball of anxiety in Nancy's gut as she waits, and it only gets more tangled as each minute ticks by. She can't sit still, so she ends up pacing her room. She tries to turn some of that restless energy toward finishing, straightening up some of the mess, but she can't focus. The doorbell rings, finally, and Nancy abandons the pile of cassettes she's been stacking to hurry down the stairs. She answers the door, and there Steve is, standing on top of the kitschy welcome mat Nancy's mom had put out, hands stuffed into the pockets of his jeans, wrapped in a cozy-looking sweater. "Hi, Steve," Nancy greets, and steps aside to let him in. "Hey, Nance," Steve replies, stepping in. "Is it just you here?" he asks, glancing around as if any of her family would be in the foyer with them. Nancy shakes her head. "Yeah, Mike's at the buyers, and my parents took Holly with them to the car dealership. My mom's trying to convince my dad that it's time to get an upgrade." She laughs awkwardly and smooths her hands down the front of her skirt just to give them something to do. She starts a moment later. "Do you want anything to drink? We have Pepsi or Sprite or..." "I'm all right, Nance," Steve interrupts. He gives her a mild look and scratches at his neck. "You said you wanted to talk?" Nancy presses her lips together and gives a curt nod. "Yes," she says. "I did." She makes sure the lock is turned on the door and then steps past Steve toward the stairs. "Why don't we go up to my room?" She doesn't wait for his response as she spins on her heel and starts to climb the stairs. But she can feel him behind her, can hear his footsteps falling in time with her own. When they get to her room, Nancy closes the door behind them with a soft click. She doesn't face Steve right away, just holds onto the doorknob for a few more seconds, taking slow, measured breaths to combat the twisting of her stomach. "Nance?" Steve asks carefully. Nancy composes herself and turns. "Sit down, Steve, please," she says, and takes a few short steps to her bed, gingerly sitting on the edge. Her hands fall into her lap, twisting together. Steve nods and pulls the chair out from Nance's desk, turning it and taking a seat. His eyebrows are pulled together, concern creasing his forehead and pulling at his mouth. It's been like that since I got here. Neither one of them speaks right away. Nancy can feel Steve's eyes on her, the worry only growing the longer she stays quiet and avoids his gaze. She doesn't know how to start this conversation. There's not exactly a simple way to ease into it. And it's almost funny, in a way. She's fought interdimensional creatures with rows and rows of razor teeth and sharp, sharp claws and rolled with those punches, barely batting an eye. And yet, here she sits, more afraid of words. It makes Nancy want to laugh at herself. And she decides if she can do that, then she can do this. So she smooths her hands over her skirt and looks up, ready to talk. Except Steve holds up a hand before she can get anything out. Look, Nance, he starts. I know what this is about. Nancy's eyebrows fly up. Oh? She sincerely doubts that. Yeah, Steve says, and he presses his lips together, glancing off to the side for a second before fixing his eyes back on Nancy. They're apologetic, sympathetic, and maybe a little bit guilty. And look, Nancy, I don't want to get back together. I'm sorry. That startles a laugh out of Nancy. It wasn't what she was expecting at all, though it probably shouldn't have been this much of a surprise, given everything. That is not what I wanted to talk about, she says. Steve's shoulders sag in relief. Oh, good, he replies, and chuckles softly. Because I was going to say, like, I love you, Nance, but not like that. Not, romantically. Not anymore, I mean. The corner of Nancy's mouth ticks up, and she nods. Yeah. Yeah, me too, Steve. She hadn't gone into this wanting that reassurance, but now that she's gotten it, she does feel a little more at ease. The nerves aren't completely erased, not by a long shot, but the tension doesn't feel as thick, and Nancy feels a little more settled in her bones. A little more like she can do this. So, if that's not it, what is it then? Steve asks after a second. What's up? The words sit on the tip of Nancy's tongue. But when she opens her mouth to let them spill out, they stick to the backs of her teeth, trapped. She swallows tightly and gives a frustrated little huff. Her hands ring in her lap, and she picks at the polish on her nails. Nance, hey, Steve says, and he's up and out of the chair, moving to sit beside her on the bed. He reaches out and settles his hand atop Nancy's, a soothing touch. Whatever it is, it's okay, yeah? It's gonna be okay. Nancy's eyes flash up to the ceiling, blinking sharply to stave off the tears she can feel building against her waterline. She feels a little ridiculous about it, but that only makes her want to cry more. She turns her palm over in Steve's to grip his hand, and their fingers slide together. It's grounding, comforting, in a way Nancy needs right now. She sits up straighter, squares her shoulders, takes a deep breath, steeling herself, and says, I think I like girls. As soon as the words are out, Nancy is on guard. Her bottom lip sets, her chin juts out, defiant, and she looks Steve right in the eye, as if daring him to say something rude. Oh, Steve says, pauses, softer. Oh. Nancy waits with bated breath. She doesn't know what that means. She doesn't know why she's so anxious about it either, because, really, if Steve decides to be an ass about this, she knows she can take him in a fight. She knows that he knows it, too. But then Steve squeezes her hand, and the concerned pinch of his eyebrows turns into something softer, something reassuring. Thank you. For telling me, I mean, for, like, trusting me with that, Nance. Nancy blinks in surprise, lips forming a silent O. Out of all the ways she'd imagined Steve reacting, this had not been one of them at all. The unruffled composure, the easy acceptance, she'd expected confusion. Perhaps an, are you sure? Perhaps a, how is that possible if you dated me? But Steve thanking her? Nancy is unable to stop her brows from knitting, and she tilts her head. Are you okay? That prompts Steve to laugh. Shouldn't I be asking you that?
Nancy's mouth twists wryly. I mean, don't take this the wrong way, she starts, and her face takes on a sheepish cast. But I didn't expect this to be so easy with you.
Steve laughs again.
Yeah, well, I've had some practice, he explains. You should have seen me when...
He cuts himself off, eyes widening in a way that says he almost said something he shouldn't.
The first time this kind of thing happened,
he corrects quickly.
I didn't get it right away. Kind of had to have it spelled out for me.
Steve frowns then.
Also, I was really high.
Nancy gives him a puzzled look at that.
It's a long story, Steve says, brushing it off. Point is, this isn't my first rodeo, and you're not the only one that's given me a big thump on the head,
he adds. That makes Nancy smile. It's her turn to give Steve's hand a squeeze before she lets it go. You're a really good guy, Steve Harrington, she says. And she means it with every fiber of her being. Steve gives Nancy a brief smile in return and looks away, shaking off the compliment. He's never been particularly good at taking them. When he glances back, he looks serious. But, like, you're okay? Steve asks, turning the attention back towards Nancy. And it's sweet of him to ask, to care enough to follow up. He's gonna make someone very lucky one day, Nancy thinks. She nods. Yeah, I'm okay, she says. Then, I actually feel a lot better now that I've told somebody. She chuckles softly. Steve points at himself. Am I? You haven't told anybody else? I was the first?
You're the first, Nancy confirms.
Steve straightens at that, shoulders shifting back as if he were actually taking the weight of that responsibility.
Your secret is safe with me, Nance. You can trust me, he says resolutely, so very earnestly.
Nancy smiles. I know. A comfortable silence settles between them as the last few minutes sink in. It's crazy how much lighter Nancy feels now. Like the weight that had been hanging over her head all morning has been lifted, and now she can breathe without it crushing her. She feels a surge of gratitude for Steve, and she turns to him then.
Steve, she says, catching his attention.
Thank you. And then she leans over to throw her arms around his neck, pulling him into a hug. The hug takes Steve by surprise, but his arms curl back around Nancy, warm and solid, and he returns the embrace just as tightly.
Anytime, Nance, Steve murmurs into her hair.
When they break apart, there's a goofy sort of smile on Steve's face. Nancy lifts an eyebrow at it.
So, girls, huh?
Steve asks, grinning. He sticks an elbow out to gently nudge Nancy's arm. Nancy flushes, lips pursing, and she shrugs a little helplessly.
Girls, she repeats, and her laughter is fluttery around the edges.
It feels strange to be acknowledging it after keeping it to herself for so long, but it's nice, too.
And there's something quite amusing to her that she and Steve can now give each other girl advice and openly moon over Olivia Newton-John in Grease together.
Her laughter fades, and her face screws up a moment later.
It's not just girls, though, Nancy tells Steve. I like them, but I do still like boys, too. I guess I like them both now.
Liking both, Steve repeats, nodding. And it sort of sounds like he'd never really given much thought to that being an option.
Both.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's... Steve nods even more. And it would be funny how much he looks like a broken bobblehead right now, but Nancy has a feeling there might be something else going on beneath the surface there. She wants to ask, but she doesn't want to push. That's cool, Steve says again. It is, Nancy agrees firmly, making sure to catch Steve's eye as she says it, her face and her tone pointed enough that she hopes he sees it as the unspoken invitation it is, should he ever need her to return the favor and lend an ear. There's a pause, and then Steve's asking, Is there a girl, then? There's gotta be a girl. Amusement and timidity in equal parts morph Nancy's features. She bites her lip, debating whether she should tell Steve or not. It isn't that she's embarrassed about it, but she knows she won't hear the end of it from Steve. He'll like it too much. He'll find it way too amusing, his ex-girlfriend having a crush on his best friend. Her silence must seem like an invitation for Steve to start guessing. Except he only has to guess once, which is either ridiculously lucky on his part, or he knows Nancy far too well. Nancy has the feeling it's the latter. It's Robin, isn't it? Steve asks. The grin on his face only grows when Nancy doesn't respond right away and makes the mistake of glancing down at her hands, avoiding eye contact. Oh my God, it is! Steve, Nancy pleads, finally fixing her big eyes on him. Come on, Nance, Steve continues, throwing his knee up on her bed as he turns to face her more fully. Am I right? He asks, though it's clear he already knows he is. Confirmation at this point would just go to his head. Nancy buries her face in her hands, groaning softly.
If I tell you you are, will you drop it?
She asks, voice muffled.
You know, I could, help you out here, Steve says, brightening at his own idea. Yeah, I could teach you how to flirt with girls, and I could tell you what Robin likes, and I could help you come up with the perfect way to ask her out, and Steve,
Nancy interrupts, sharper than before. It works this time, quieting Steve. He has the decency to look sheepish. It's not that I don't appreciate your enthusiasm, Nancy says. I do. It's
really sweet.
But I don't think I'm quite there yet, you know?
Right, Steve says immediately.
Right, yeah, totally, totally. Just when you are ready. He makes a phone with his pinky and thumb and holds it up.
Give me the call and I'll teach you everything I know, okay? I make a great wingman.
He points at Nancy and grins. Nancy laughs, lips pursing as she tries to hold back her smile.
I'm sure you do, she tells him, though she doesn't sound too convinced.
As the moment settles, Nancy leans her head onto his shoulder. Thanks, Steve, she says. And they both know that it is for far more than his offer to wingman. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being so cool about this. Thank you for making me feel safe. Thank you for being a friend, the best friend. Anytime, Nance, Steve replies softly, wrapping his arm around her shoulders and giving her arm a light squeeze. From her spot on his shoulder, Nancy's eyes fall on the stack of cassettes sitting on her bedside table. And suddenly, she remembers. Oh, Steve, Nancy says, perking up. She slides off the side of her bed and moves toward the nightstand. I almost forgot. When she turns back around, she's holding a cassette. A Songs from the Big Chair cassette. Steve's curious eyes land on it, and he lights up. Is that... I found it earlier when I was straightening up in here, Nancy tells him, and she holds it out for Steve. I'm pretty sure it's yours.
Yeah, I think you're right,
Steve replies, a little awed.
No way. I can't believe that's where it wound up.
He laughs and flips the cassette over, running a finger down the track list.
I spent forever looking for this. I was so bummed that I lost it. I haven't went and bought a new one since it was my favorite.
Nancy reaches over to tap the front.
Well, I guess it's not lost anymore,
she says, laughing. Steve holds the cassette up and gives it a little shake.
No kidding. Thanks, Wheeler.
He tucks the tape into his pocket, then jerks his head toward the pile of tapes on her nightstand.
What else are you hiding away over there?
He asks, rising and moving towards it.
Got any more tapes you stole from me?
He teases. Nancy pouts at him.
Hey, I didn't steal it. You left it here,
she says, tilting her head and sticking her hands on her hips. Steve flashes her a grin over his shoulder and rifles through her collection.
Oh, hey,
he says a moment later,
and Nancy thinks maybe he did find another one of his against all odds.
But the cassette he holds up isn't one of his. It's the Kim Carnes one.
Here's something you and Robin have in common, Steve says, waggling his eyebrows. This is like her favorite album. She won't shut up about this one song on it called
Betty Davis Eyes. Nancy finishes, a shy smile curling onto her lips.
I know. Steve's eyebrows lift.
That's actually Robin's tape, Nancy tells Steve. She left it here the other day.
Steve looks like the cat that got the cream. Is that why she was late to work on Thursday?
His mouth falls open in a faux scandalized grin.
Oh, Nance, you dog! You don't need my help at all, do you?
Nancy's cheeks are warm, but she giggles into her hand.
Okay, well, come on then,
Steve says, sitting once more with gusto. He gets comfortable, leaning back against the pillows, and gestures across from him for Nancy to join. He fixes her with an expectant look.
Tell me all about it.
And it's exactly what Nancy wanted, isn't it? Someone to talk to. Someone she can share these exact kinds of things with. Someone who will listen and not treat her any differently and will encourage her to go after what she wants. A strong wave of appreciation washes over her.
She knew she'd made the right choice, calling Steve.
So Nancy sits on the bed, folding her legs to get comfortable too. And then she tells him.
The end.
She'll expose you when she snows you. She's ferocious, and she knows just what it takes to make it pro blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got Betty Davis eyes.
Author's Notes.
Thank you so much for reading. Let me know what you think with a kudos and a comment.
Reader's Notes. This podfic was recorded as an ITPE 2024 first year on Tumblr. That's right, informal Tumblr podfic exchange. Main gift for Deepest Blue Sky. I stole this out of your public bookmarks list. I did not previously know Max Dramatic Shenanigans, who is an author with blanket permission. Thank you, Max Dramatic Shenanigans, for having blanket permission to podfic. And I hadn't actually read this fic before. I'd seen it on a couple people's bookmarks, but it was Jen. And I was like, right now I'm in a very shippy zone. But Deepest Blue Sky was like, I really like this. And I was like, I should record something for Deepest Blue Sky as a gift that they will enjoy. And then I did. And then I read this. And then I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. This is a beautiful relationship between Steve and Nancy and the vulnerability. Oh my God. And then like
just that sort of crack into the peek into the look of Nancy's inner monologue of her psyche and her motivations. And like, Nancy is not a character whose POV I've spent a lot of time reading and recording in. So I'm not 100% if I like nailed her voice, but I think we're going for raw emotional honesty, and so even if it doesn't totally match her, like, character delivery choices, the raw emotional honesty of this fic, I think that got nailed. So that's good. It's lovely. It's also the first time that I'd heard Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes was looking up the music for this podfic. So thank you to the combined scenario of this for putting a brand new fic on my horizons and a brand new song on my horizons. Brand new. 60 years old. 40 years old. I know how math works. Anyway. Deepest Blue Sky, I really hope you enjoyed this. Everyone else who's listening, I hope you enjoyed it too. Max Dramatic Shenanigans, thank you so much again for having blanket permission to Pontfic. And check out the rest of ITPE 2024. Some of the works will be on AO3, but it is primarily a Tumblr-centric gift exchange this year because Twitter is circling the pooper. And we are no longer supporting that website. We are supporting Tumblr instead, where the Blue Hill site is totally a valid place to be on the internet. Totally valid. We do exist. Anyway, yes. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day. And she'll tease you. She'll unease you. All the better just to please you. She's conscious. And she knows just what it takes to make it grow blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She teases you. She'll unease you just to please you. She's got Betty Davis.